Yea, anila prema dana, corona pracho. Yea, anila. Prema Janna Corona Pracho. Hey, no bravo. Kota gela acharya taku. Kaha mora sarupruba kaha Sanatan. Kahadasa Raghunatha Patita Pavan. Kahamora bata juga kaha kavira. Eka kale Kota gela koranataras. Pashane kutivo mata. Anale vashibo. Goranga gune radnede kota gele papo. Sisapasangira sange ye koiro bilahas. Se sangana pai kande nara chamodahas. Na pai kande nara chamodahas. Nye anilo prema dana. Karuna prachur. Dehanela prema dana. Karuna prachur. Thank you. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravidakacharya, also Tera, Sutashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya, Chananana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Pavarabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavaram Ki Jai, Mataradam Ki Jai, Jagadatha Swami Ki Jai, Yamunamaya Ki Jai, Shrimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari 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 Bol. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamant, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pajani, Nivashesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Deja Tarni. So let me just do one thing here. So, let's read the translation of this poem written by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivas Acharya Gan. Where am I, Sarup, Damodar, and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees and whose association performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, right after we greet the deities, we're going to be doing the Pushpanjali and a Guru Puja for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Om Ganatu Midanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Hurmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here is the brief overview of the life and pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before he appeared, of course, he is the son of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And before he appeared, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very worried about all these different sampradayas, or upasampradayas, that were there, like Bal and Ol. And, anyway, there's so many of them. And, you know, he had to deal with that people like Vibhikishena, who said he was Mahavishnu and having a rasa dance. Didn't even understand the philosophy properly. Mahavishnu doesn't have rasa dances. And his Vivekashena's friend, who was also Lord Brahma, and another friend who was Lord Shiva. So he had to deal with all these crazy people. So he prayed for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to send down his right-hand man to counteract all this nonsense. And he prayed very fervently for that. And then in February 6, 1874, of course, that's a ray of Vishnu also, right-hand man, Raya Vishnu. In Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born, and he was the sixth child in a family of 13. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a lot of children, so and he was a pure devotee, so not the one has to take sannyas. Kiva vipra kiva nyasa shudra kena na ye krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. So we don't base the position of guru on whether one is sannyas or man or woman or whatever, or even children. The four kumaras are actually the ideal gurus, head of the sampradaya. So he was the fourth of eight sons, and the third by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife, Shiv Bhagavati Devi, and he was born with the umbilical cord around his neck like a Brahman thread. And it left a mark on his body, which is visible throughout his whole life. Of course, he did wear a thread also. In fact, he was the one who established that Vaishnavas, even if they were born in non-Brahmin families, would wear a Brahminical thread. And this was quite revolutionary. Why was it revolutionary? Because this Brahminical thread was reserved, at least for people, the higher castes. And he was awarding it to people even who were born in Shudra or Chandala families. And he was showing by that action that Vaishnavas are the topmost Brahmanas. And we mentioned the other day when we were talking about that whole discussion, he had defeating the ritualistic Brahmanas and the Prakriti Sahajas and the hereditary devotees like that. Someone, people who said that they were devotees just because they were coming from a certain family like Nityananda Vamsa or Advaita Vamsa. So anyway, so at the Rathayatra's festival, his mother touched his head 3 days. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So it was actually interesting. Sorry. When it came time for his grain ceremony, grains are usually given at, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. What happened is that he, let's see, I'm mixing the stories right now. Oh, no, this is not the grain ceremony, sorry. I'm mixing the story with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's story. So what happened is that 3 days after he was born, the Rathayatra cart stopped in front of his house and it wouldn't move, and they couldn't get it to move. This is like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. It stopped for 3 days. That's highly unusual because usually the Rathayatra cart keeps moving. And so his mother brought him onto the cart and touched his head to the feet of Jagannath, and a garland fell, and then the cart started to move again. It's an amazing story. It's described about his form, his transcendental body. His feet were like soft like butter. Then anyone who touched them, it almost seemed like there were no bones. His skin was so delicate, even the slightest touch would redden it. And he had all the signs of a great personality, such as lotus eyes and long arms and very tall, and all the proportions of his body that indicated he was a great personality. When it came time for the grain ceremony, that's called the Annaprashana ceremony, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him prasadam from Bimala Devi from the Jagannath temple, because Bimala Devi is considered like Yogamaya. Therefore, from then on, he was known as Bimala Prasad. So, when he was 3 years old, what happened is that this showed his great determination. When he was 3 years old, he took a mango that was not offered to the Govardhan Shila at home. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped the Govardhan Shila too. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur mildly chastised him, didn't even chastise him, he said, "This is not proper. You should not eat food that's not offered." He took a vow that he would refuse to eat mangoes for the rest of his life. For those of you who are from this country, you can't understand how serious that is. Because mangoes are actually, probably say, the king of all fruits. And the most wonderful of all fruits. So later on, when he was offered mangoes by his disciples when he was older, he would say to them, "I'm a great offender. I cannot take this, or cannot take these mangoes." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur noticed how serious he was in Krishna consciousness and took special care of him and trained him up personally in Krishna consciousness. At the age of 7, he was able to memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita, and it could explain the verses according to Krishna consciousness. And in 1881, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was excavating for the construction of the Bhakti Bhavan, he discovered a deity of Kurmadevi, and then Bimal Prasad, who was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, asked if he could worship this deity of Kurmadevi. And then he was given initiation by his father into a certain mantras, I guess the Brahma Gayatri, so he could worship Kurmadevi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur entrusted Bimal Prasad with the worship of this deity. Of course, Kurmadevi is considered to be the presiding deity of the nectarian ocean of devotional service. So it's a very, very special deity. Also, he was given a Nrisinga mantra by his father. And the Nrisinga mantra was given because Nrisingadeva destroys all the impediments in devotional service. And then from the age of seven, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was wearing tilak and following everything else that other Vaishnavas followed. And then at 11 years of age, he toured with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He toured with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my notes are wrong, and preached Krishna consciousness. And he had a photographic memory. He never studied, but he did very, very well. In fact, Srila Prabhupada called him a living encyclopedia. The way he actually became expert in English was that he memorized the whole dictionary. So he used words, even to this day, that are very hard even for me or for other people to understand. And Prabhupada said that it was very hard for him to understand. If you read the Brahma Sangita, which he commented on, it's amazing the erudition that he exhibited doing that. And so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually had some conflict with the guru or the Diksha guru of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because the Diksha guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Bibini Bihari Goswami, who actually was in favor of the Brahmanism, establishing Brahmins as superior to Vaishnavas. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to offer him obeisances. Even when his father's guru came to the house, he just refused to offer him obeisances, and Vipini Vihari Goswami said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Why is your son not offering obeisances?" And there's a quote here. "Because he does not offer dandavats to sahajas." So at 1888, started studying astronomy, and at age 15, he so impressed his teachers, they gave him the name Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. And in 1893, published an edition of the Surya Siddhanta, which is the oldest traditional Vedic book on astronomy and astrology. He chastised the astronomers and astrologers of the day who were very unqualified. And there's a quote here from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. "At present, the majority of persons, reputed as learned are averse to Shastriya understanding. They shamelessly promote themselves as knowledgeable in Shastra, even if totally unaware of its contents. The disease has taken the form of inordinate desire for honor. This evil has engulfed the Jyotir Tirthas, and resultingly, their work is incomplete and short-sighted. I have brought out this translation of Sri Surya Siddhanta with the hope of attracting the attention of really intelligent thinkers towards the study of astronomy." The Jyotir Tirthas spend most of their life busily expanding their bellies. You understand? Expanding your bellies. "And have completely stopped cultivating the complex knowledge of mathematical astronomy perceived in Guru Parampara. Additionally, they take the help of tables provided in different reference books, and without ever reading or even seeing Sri Surya Siddhanta, They continually quote it to defend their wrong calculations. He was actually also called Nrsimha Guru for obvious reasons. And even before he started preaching Krishna consciousness, he was really heavy with people who were bogus, either bogus astrologers or bogus in other fields of life. And it's described that after he started preaching Krishna consciousness, he would accost people who were preaching bogus philosophy and sometimes even pick them up by, the scruff of their neck, basically, and say, why are you preaching so much nonsense? And sometimes if someone was a Mayavadi and saying that everything is one, he would say, why do you wear the shirt instead of a piece of cotton? You know, people were scared of him. And so, so he went to school. And when he went to school, he actually started this whole society called the Gita Kumara Sabha, which is the Association of Lifelong Brahmacharis. And he also called it the August Assembly. And all the members took a vow of celibacy, intending to avoid entanglement in family life, but none of them followed that vow, except for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Mm. So he became more and more expert, and then at the college, he classed with the head of the astronomy department, because he was more expert than the professors, and they had a debate organized between the head of the astrology department or astronomy department, which is synonymous in those particular days, which were synonymous. They had a public debate between the two of them. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur easily won that debate. And then he got in arguments with the principal. And they kicked him out. And then he said something very interesting. This was actually his plan, to get kicked out of the college. I'm not saying that someone else should do it. Don't do that. Considering that if I were to remain attentively studying at college, I would be browbeaten to enter family life. It's an interesting expression, browbeaten. But if I were perceived as a foolish good-for-nothing, then no one would put such inducements upon me for becoming engaged in worldly advancement. That's like Jatabharata, basically. I left the Sanskrit college, and to maintain my life for service to Hari, I sought an honest occupation with a modest income. So from 1895 to 1905, he actually worked for the kings of Tripura, and he overseed the Tripura government secretariat in Calcutta. But there was so much politics there, then it's described in malice and sleaze, that he disentangled himself and resigned in 1905. In 1897, even during that time, he started observing Chaturmasa in a very strict way. He would, before sunset, he would take only rice cooked by his own hand with just a touch of ghee, but no salt or spices, by the method known as Gograsa, feeding like a cow, and I described what that was, that you would just bend down and eat from the ground with no plate and not using your hands and eating no more than you could do once before you rose. He observed that for the whole time of Chaturmasa. He didn't shave, and he didn't cut his nails, and he slept minimally on the bare earthen floor of his hut without bedding, pillow, or even a straw mat. And remember, during a lot of the Chaturmasa period, it's cool. I mean, not supremely cold, but it's pretty cold. Hmm. And then when he was 25, he was told by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to take initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And there's a famous story about this. When he approached Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj for initiation, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, well, I have to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came back a second time, and he said, "Have you asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "No, I forgot to ask him." And then he came back a third time, and he said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No." And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur threatened to end his life. And finally, he was initiated with the name Barsha Banavi Devi Adoyitaya Das, which means the mercy of Shivati Radharani. So in 1898, he began to give classes in Jagannath Puri with his father. And he gave classes on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many people came. At first, he was friends with this Babaji named Radha Raman Charanadas Babaji. But then this Babaji started teaching bogus mantra, Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which basically says that you should chant Nittai Gaur, Lord Chaitanya's name, publicly, but only chant the Hare Krishna mantra in japa, not publicly. In other words, don't do sankirtan. Just chant softly. And then also this Radha Ramana Charanadas Babaji started to follow the Sakivedi Beta system, Sakiveki, actually, system, in which he was dressing up like a lady. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opposed this rascal. And sometimes it's described that this Radha Raman Charanadas Babaji was an incarnation of Shukracharya. Some acharyas talk about that, because he was trying to disturb the progress of the bona fide Yuga Dharma. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opposed this person, and because this person was so popular in Jagannath Puri, there was a riot in Jagannath Puri. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life was in jeopardy. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur told his son, "You better leave." So he left. And see what it, okay. And then in 1905, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a vow to chant a billion names of Krishna. And he cleared an overgrown area in the Yogapith area, which is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he made a grass hut in which he lived from 1905 to 1909. And it's described that he had some books there. And actually it's described that he really liked green at that particular time. He was writing in green ink, wearing a green shawl, and preferred to use all sorts of green items. And he didn't even fix the roof of his hut, and it was leaking, so he just used an umbrella sometime. So he slept on the earthen floor of the hut, and the rest of the time he just chanted day and night the holy names of Krishna. Occasionally he took black pepper to offset the nausea caused by his fasting. In the heat of the summer, he would close the door and go on chanting day and night. Whenever rain leaked through the roof thatch, he sat under an umbrella, continued chanting. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj remarked, "I see the renunciation of Sri Rupa Raghunath manifest in my Prabhu." Wow. So in 1915, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappeared from this material world. Shortly afterward, one night, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw in a dream as Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the Panchatattva, and numerous other devotees of Lord Chaitanya approaching him from the east. And this is what they told him. He related this dream. "Saraswati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing the Shuddha Bhakti. distribute Gauravani universally, expand service to Gauranama, Gauradhamma, and Gaurakama. With unbreached enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you, ready to help. The support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulence, and boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest when required. Come forward with full strength to distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prema Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking of yours. We are forever with you. Wow. And these are very interesting statements. And once he was speaking at the Samadhi of Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj in 1933, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that his Guru Maharaj had given him three instructions. One, not to make any disciples. Two, not to associate with anybody. And three, not to go to the world of Maya, which is Calcutta. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur affirmed about himself, one, he did not make disciples. Those who considered themselves his disciples were in fact his gurus. For by observing their ideal inclination for Hari Seva, his own tendency to serve increased. Two, he did not associate with anyone, because association means to accept something from others, but he accepted only what was given by his Guru Maharaj. And three, he never went to Calcutta, but only to the Gaudiya Math, which, although apparently situated in Calcutta, was actually Vaikuntha without dullness, beyond the influence of Kali. Like we were speaking last night in class, repeating one of Prabhupada's purports, where Prabhupada said that in this material world, the holy dhams are movable. He used the word movable. In other words, they can be established in different places. And one of his disciples said, before taking sannyas, he used to wear a top garment 24 hours a day. No one ever saw his upper body. But after taking sannyas, he would wear a chadar most of the time. He gave up wearing sandals when he took sannyas. Walking everywhere without sandals, he made his feet bleed. But he would still walk without sandals. Whew. Seeing the example of his great renunciation, we were amazed. During Chaturmasya, the last 4 months of the rainy season, he would sleep on the floor and would only eat during the day, never after sunset. In the heat of summer in Mayapur, he would close his door and chant day and night. And this was actually his disciples after he started preaching. And at the end of every lecture, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would quote a verse by Prabhupada Saraswati from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, in which he says, taking a straw in my mouth, I go to you, and though you are a very wonderful person, I request you to please give up all your nonsense ideas and just take the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada would often quote this. When he was asked how to preach Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada would say, oh, you're very intelligent. You know, praise the person and say, you know, taking a straw in my street, in my teeth. Please give up everything you've learned and take to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's a little information about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's dietary habits. 7 a.m. he would take a light breakfast, a little halva or a sweet, and full prasadam at 11 a.m., a large amount of rice and spinach and vegetables. He always took green papaya, cooked with water and blended until it became like soup. This was very good, he said, for his liver and digestion. At night, he would take puris and potatoes, cut into squares and fried. That's a Bengali preparation. And he took milk with sugar. And he took this at 8:30 to 9 o'clock p.m. In the afternoon, he would take a lemon sherbet, which is sweet lemon water drink with sugar or cool dark coconut adob. In his prasadam, he liked a lot of salt, which made taking his remnants difficult for his disciples. he liked drumsticks, sajana, which, you know, you have to be in India to know what they are. He also liked chickpeas fried with hing and salt and food cooked in cow's ghee or sesame oil. He was very fond of hing, that's asafoetida, especially peanuts fried with a lot of salt and hing. He was fond of sweets and especially liked the Bug Bazaar Rasgullas. At the age of 53, he stopped taking those sweets as it was troublesome for his teeth as they were becoming affected. He also liked sweet samosas. He also liked dukka khichdi, which they cooked usually in a big brass pot with many vegetables mixed in it. That dukka khichdi is also very liquidy with a lot of water. He liked rasmalai very much. All right, let's see, anything else from this particular? All right, let's continue with this. So we talked about the disappearance of Gorkhacharya Babaji Maharaj a year before that Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared. In 1918, he took sannyas, gave himself sannyas, since his spiritual master wasn't there, before a picture of his spiritual master. And in 1918, he also established the Ulta Danga Math in Calcutta. In 1922, on the rooftop of that math, he met with A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our spiritual master, and preached to him. In 1919, he established the deity of Bhaktivedanta Thakur in Godhramadvipa, and he gave a very heavy lecture condemning business people who did business with the deity, and that's where he came up with that quote, "It's like using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with." In 1923, he established the temple in Vrajapatan, and that, of course, is the temple in Mayapur that everyone's familiar with, the Gaudiya Math temple, where ultimately his samadhi is too, where he established the deities of the acharyas of the four sampradayas. 1924, he had, and this is years after he initiated disciples, he had his first Vyas Puja ceremony, in which he wrote this nice essay, "Humbler Than a Blade of Grass." 1925, he started circumambulation of Navadweep Dham, and because many of his disciples were from lower castes, the people were starting to throw stones at him and his disciples. Whew. In 1926, he sent sannyasis out all over India to open up temples. In 1927, he started his Sajana Toshini magazine, which was in English. In 1929, he established 108 Padatirthas, that means places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, and he installed the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all these places. During our South Indian tours, we actually saw many of these Padatirthas. 1930, he started preaching with dioramas, which he emphasized, which Srila Prabhupada also emphasized. In 1930, he also started the Bug Bazaar Temple. 1932, examinations. Bhakti Vaibhava and all these other examinations to prepare his disciples for preaching. 1933, he sent his disciples to the Western world, especially to Germany and also to the UK. In 1935, Srila Prabhupada wrote in the Vyas Puja to his spiritual master, "Absolute ascension, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved." And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura heard this, he said that he has understood, referring to our Prabhupada, "He has understood my mission, and you should print anything that he writes." And so 1936 was the last year of his preaching. And 1937, he left this world. He was called the Lion Guru. He had 64 temples he established, presses, because he came up with this expression, the Brihat Mridanga, which is printing. In this way, Krishna consciousness can be spread everywhere. Established many different exhibits and festivals. Wrote many literatures. It's described as English was so elevated that to show English people he was better than English and than they were. So today is his disappearance day, and just a few quotes from him so we can hear his words and understand how elevated he was. It's described that he was the enemy of falsehood. Here's a quote. "He himself was the enemy of Oh, this is about him, sorry. He himself was the enemy of falsehood, and people who were thriving on falsehood sometimes became his enemy. There were many incidents. Oh, this is an interesting incident. Once when he and his party were performing Navadvipa Parikrama, the caste brahmanas hired gundas or thugs who let loose with a volley of stones and boulders on the party. They were really aiming to take Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. And actually there were many attempts on his life on other occasions. But one of his disciples, that disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, exchanged his white dress for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's saffron. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was disguised and he escaped. But it was a terrible scene. In other words, they were trying to kill Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's described, it looked like a massacre with the streets of Navadvip stained with the blood of the Vaishnavas. In other words, it just wasn't stones. I mean, they were hitting the devotees, and there was blood staining the streets. Some devotees suffered severe gashes and fractures, but by Krishna's grace, none of them were killed. It was a dark, dark moment, but when it came to light that the attack had been perpetuated by the caste Goswamis, the shocked public sided with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the Gaudiya Math, and the caste Goswami's opposition to him lost whatever apparent credibility it had. As news of the event spread, those in learned circles protested in newspapers and magazines. The chief police inspector in Navadvip was sacked, and the parikrama, sacked means he was fired. And the parikrama continued under full police protection. Later, when urged to press charges against the culprits, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur declined, saying that hooligans had done a great service for the mission. Otherwise, how could the Gaudiya Math have been featured in the front pages of all the newspapers? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the enemy of falsehood, but he was the well-wisher of everyone, even of people who were inimical to him. So Prabhupada also, it was similar with sometimes when people would write an article in the newspaper critical of the Hare Krishna movement, and they would just say Hare Krishna so many times, and Prabhupada said, it's very nice, they're chanting.
Thank you. Shakti, 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 Shak Sadanta,
Vantaharane,
Vantaharane, Jai Jalanti Sananda Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya, Utale, Mante, Akisadanta, Sarasati, Dinamane, Jivarshavanave, Devi, Oitaya, Krishna Sambandha, Jnana, Dayane, Prabhuve Namaha, Madhurya, Uchvala, Primacha, Rupanuga, Akvida, Jigora, Shakti, Vigrahaya, most today, Namaste, Gauravani, Shimurtaye, Natarane, Rupanuga, Vidudapa, Siddhanta, Vantaharane, Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Uttale, Shrimate, Akisaranta, Saraswati, Dinamane, Varshavanabe, Devi, Oitaya, Bhaktahe, Krishna Sambandha, Jnana,
Thank you. Namacharya, Shri Veda, Snapur, Brent, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Brahma Vijnanda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikadhyaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikopata Shain Kun Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Vacharam Kijaya Jagannatha Saudi Kijaya Yuvanamai Kijaya Parilasire Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikadhyaya Gaur Hari. All glory is the
contracted COVID. We're sorry for this.